The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey, Billy, why don't we tell them what we're about, man?
So we're here to welcome you to the Madhouse Chronicles. It's a talk show with myself, Billy Morrison.
And me, Ozzy Osbourne.
This man, Prince of Darkness. And we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Come and join Ozzy and myself. Visit osbournemediahouse.com to get special access to...
Come on!
What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
The Major Spoilers Podcast covers news, reviews, and of course, spoilers, and goes into details about the topics discussed. So if you haven't read, listened, or watched the items we talk about, you might want to come back later.
I'm Matthew.
I'm Scott.
And I'm Steven, and you're listening to the Major Spoilers Podcast, the podcast for pop culture and comic fans.
In this issue, three panelists enter, one panelist leaves. Batman meets Spider-Man while Spidey's greatest foe makes it to the big screen and Arthur Fleck returns for some reason. We can talk the talk, but can you walk the walk? Can you dance the dance? Can you juggle caramel muffins while doing your math homework? If so, congratulations. You might be eligible for compensation. Call the law firm of Schleicherman, Johnson, and Fat Man. We'll get your podcast on the air.
Welcome to issue 981 of the Major Spoilers Podcast. Thank you so much for downloading and checking us out this week. Oh, we've got Scott Johnson in the house, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, hey, it's my, you know what today is? It's my time of the month.
Well, something like that. Hey, listen, you guys need to be listening to Scott Johnson on the morning stream Monday through Thursday. And then if you're a patron, you get a PM edition on, was it Thursday or Friday?
Friday.
Mm-hmm. Also, Scott, you have another game called Core that is all about video games and retro video games, right?
Yeah, I love it. So Tuesdays today, I do a show called Play Retro, which is all about the old games. And we had a really good chat today about all these weird mini consoles that you can buy, you know, or could buy anyway, the NES mini.
Oh, yeah, the joysticks systems.
PSP.
Yeah, really into the mini Genesis and Super NES because they're literally tiny versions of the console. They're super cool looking. They sold like crazy. And we talked about those and what were the good ones to have. Don't get the PlayStation one. That's my recommendation. It's a piece of crap. Anyway, we do that on Tuesdays. And then on Thursdays, I record Core with my buddies Bo and John. And we hit all the big industry stuff. And right now is a great time because there's a hardcore stuff going on right now. We got Microsoft events and sort of pseudo E3 events happening. And we're having to break all that stuff down. So anyway, if you're into that sort of thing, you can find all that at frogpants.com.
Yeah. And the reason I bring that up is because we were talking Diablo 3 and E3 and Diablo Immortal in the Major Spoilers pre-show that you can get when you become a patron over at patreon.com/majorspoilers. So you can go listen to that and then we can get into some news. Sony Pictures Animation let loose a tidbit of news for the upcoming Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse animated movie this week. According to the movie's Twitter feed, Jason Schwartzman will play the Spot as one of Spider-Man's foes in the sequel. No, he's the Dot, right?
No, he's the Spot.
He's the Spot. Spot.
Yeah, Johnny On, comma. Yes. The Spot
is often used as the butt of many jokes by the villains of the Marvel Universe, but Sony describes him as, quote, Miles Morales's most formidable foe yet, unquote. And, you know, he did fight Kingpin in the last movie. The Spot first appeared in Peter Parker, the Spectacular Spider-Man number 98 in 1985, though the actually crowd would say the Spot first appeared in Dr. Jonathan Owen in Peter Parker's Spectacular Spider-Man number 97, 1984. Well, that's good to know, but he was the Spot in issue 98. The villain was created by Al Milgram and Herb Trimpe.
I like that you made a real person here tonight. You made say a thing and then you argued with that person.
Yes, the actually.
Yeah, that's how Steven works. He creates a straw man. Yeah.
Usually we just have Matthew argue the actually part, but anyway.
Yeah, usually he just says, you said this. And I'm like, no, I didn't.
I am very curious about this because I don't know if he's going to be the main villain in it. They seem to imply that he is the main villain, which I think is going to be very interesting considering that they have so many more spider peoples in this movie. I mean, we got Spider-Man 2099. We've got Spider-Woman. We've got some more Gwens. We've got, I think Spider-Ham is coming back. So for the, for the spot to be the big bad seems interesting.
Tell me what the spot is. I don't know
who
he is.
The spot can open interdimensional portals, but his gimmick is that basically he is comprised of portals.
Yeah, he's basically a portal man.
He is a completely white human figure, and each spot on his body is literally a dimensional portal.
And so he can open up a spot.
He's covered with spots.
He can open up a spot in front of him and punch through that spot, and a spot will open up behind your head and punch you in the back of the head.
Oh, okay.
There's an issue of Daredevil that's fascinating because you see Daredevil perceiving him with the radar sense.
Yeah.
And you literally see him as this Swiss cheese figure full of holes, literal portals into space. And Daredevil is trying to figure out what exactly is going on with this.
So
this
I guess that would be very interesting considering, you know, that we're talking about the Spider-Verse. Now, the spot is just portals through space, but not to other dimensions, right?
Well, he is a dimensional portal. I don't know that they have ever...
Like other universes, like he can't open up a universe 1602 in one of his portals, can he?
I want to say, and I don't know if it's the actual spot, but the Marvel Zombies series that takes place on an alternate Earth has a part where a spot shows up, and I think it's the Earth 616 spot showing up in a new reality, but I can't say for sure.
That would be interesting. So here's what my hope is for the Spider-Man series. So a Spider-Man, the sequel is in two parts. So it's across the Spider-Verse and beyond the Spider-Verse, I think. If they do a fourth movie in it, I hope they just do Spider-Man Armageddon, the adaptation of the Dan Slott story. Because I think that would be, Spider-Geddon. I would really think that would be a really good way to close up that animated series. Anyway, Matthew, you got some news.
I do got some news. Are you ready for some Joker? Are you ready for musical Joker?
Nope, I'm not.
Okay, so here's the deal. The rumor mill, the people who say things, they talk a lot.
They
are saying that Lady Gaga, Stephanie Germanotta, is in negotiations to join Joaquin Phoenix, known as a child as Leaf, you may recall, in the second Joker movie, which they are naming Joker Folie à Deux, which I believe is
two brains or
French.
Something.
No, I believe it's French for fall on your deuce. And then that's a different thing. Anyway, speculation is
don't fall on your deuce. That's terrible.
Gaga is going to be playing a Harley
Quinn.
There's
a Bruce Springsteen song about that scene.
Okay, so they're claiming that Gaga may be playing a Harley Quinn. And if your head is spinning, it's going to spin even faster because Todd Phillips now reputedly, they say, is going to make this into a musical. So right now, there's no word on a release date, no word on any of this that makes it official. Speculation, rumor, intimations, hints and accidents and allegations. But that Joker movie, which came out in 2019, actually is a two-time Academy Award winner. So,
yep. Best actor and original score. You have to say the Academy Award winning The Joker with Joaquin Phoenix.
I don't have to say nothing.
Just like you have to say the Academy Award winning Suicide Squad.
You
don't have to do anything. I really like that movie. So I'm
so do I.
Like, oh, hey, cool. More of that. And then someone says musical. I'm like, oh, is this going to be in his mind? Like some kind of BS about,
If you think of Harley Quinn, I mean, he is delusional, right? But that's what the whole point of the relationship with Zazie Beetz was all about in the first movie. So if Harley Quinn is playing Harleen Quinzel, Dr. Quinzel, that's how she and the Joker meet up, is because she is his psychiatrist at Arkham Asylum. And there was a whole, I forget what it was one of those DC Black series that was like, I think it's called Harleen Quinzel is the series.
Oh, it's great. It's a bad trick. What about that guy's name? The artist and writer guy's. It was amazing. I love that.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that is about that. That is a darker version of how these two hooked up in Arkham. So I can see that then turning into a musical, or at least having musical numbers in it, especially if you've got Lady Gaga in this. Also, I didn't know that the Joker was also executive produced by the Star is Born co-star. What's his name?
Bradley Cooper.
Yeah.
Sure. Rocket Raccoon.
Yeah.
You're a brilliant person that knows these things.
I was reading the story on a Variety earlier today, so that's how I know. Because there was word that Bradley Cooper produced the first Joker movie. And so there was some speculation if he would also produce this one, since he and Lady Gaga were in A Star is Born, and he produced that as well as the first Joker movie.
Yeah. What so if he like shows up in the movie
as a talking hyena?
He should play like the Scarecrow.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Bradley Cooper. Would he be better as the Black Mask? I think he'd be like okay as a Riddler.
Well,
I don't know.
It's time to put him in the DCEU or whatever the hell.
That's right, because you know I need two more people who have been in both a DC movie and a Marvel movie to finish a 10 things. You guys,
there you go. All right, Scott, you're going to wrap us up this week.
All right. Well, check this out. You guys heard of One Punch Man?
He's the one who goes punch, right?
Yeah, he's a man what can punch you once and you're done. Is the deal. I've watched the anime. I've never read I tried to read the thing with you guys and I hated it.
Yeah, yeah.
I almost forgot. Tried to block that one out of my memory. Anyway, Justin Lin, filmmaker behind Fast and Furious movies, or at least a couple of them, is moving on to New Horizons as the director in this possible adaptation, One Punch Man, for Sony Pictures. And One Punch Man, the story is this dude, Saitamo, I guess is how you say it. He can defend any foe, just one punch, bim, boom, or not defend, defeat. But grows bored. The whole thing is he's bored because he's like, well, all I have to do is punch one guy, so he needs a bigger challenge. anyway, we reviewed that thing on an episode, 972?
Yeah, that Scott Johnson was on.
Yeah, nice. And I like One Punch Man, the anime. I had a good time with it. I did not like that comic at all.
Yeah.
Sorry, manga fans, I said comic, but you know what I mean.
It's manga.
What do we think of that? Justin Lin, you know, known for other stuff too. He made the good new Star Trek movie, the third one.
Yeah, the one where they had to play the classic rock and roll, and it was just Steppenwolf.
Classic music. But that was the most Star Trek of the Star Trek.
It was movie. Yes.
And I loved it. I really truly loved it, and I hope he brings some of that to this. I don't know how he would.
This is kind of all like speculation because it's like he's in talks too. Well, anytime someone says he's in talks too, doesn't mean it's happening. The other rumor that I saw was that they were going to make this a live action adaptation, which I think that if Sony Pictures were smart, they'd make it a full length movie. Although many people would say, well, why are you making an adaptation of the anime series, which is pretty complete in itself? I think there's a better live action adaptation of One Punch Man on YouTube already. Just look up One Punch Man fan film, and it's a fantastic little series there. So I don't know. I really question sometimes what Sony is doing with some of these announcements or plans that they have on the table, because One Punch Man to me just doesn't seem like something that's going to pack the theaters. Although I will say my two kids, one who's 14, almost 15, and one who's just turned 11, love One Punch Man. So again, this may be something that's not for me, which is fine.
At least they didn't try to put, you know, Morbius out two different times and fail both times. Maybe they didn't do that. I mean, that would really concern me if they tried to do that, but they didn't do that.
Well, you know, have you seen the petition?
Yeah, the third. They want to come
up. Dear Sony, we were all busy that weekend. Please return Morbius to the theaters.
Oh, I freaking love it.
Well, speaking of Morbius, that is out on Blu-ray and DVD today. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been warned. It's Morbin time.
Morbius, more problems.
I don't want to.
Oh, listeners. I know. Any other thoughts on the One Punch Man?
It's Morbian time.
One Punch Man, again, Justin Lin's got a style to his work that I think might work here. And he has a range between really stylistic and cool and mainstream, and this lands on the stylistic and cool side. So maybe this is a chance for him to do. I mean, again, who knows this early in the project if he's even the guy that sticks. He's been attached to other big projects and then fell off.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not holding my breath. But
what has he done? He did Three Fast, Three Furious.
Yeah.
And then he did.
And he left that in kind of a spectacular fashion too, right? So
yeah, well, I mean, he did Tokyo Drift, the one is that I think
that I love. Best. Yeah, that's the best.
Okay. Yeah, that's the one that has the Inquisitor guy in it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, right. Yeah, he's what's his name? I know. Yeah. I know him.
He was also in Better Luck Tomorrow, which is a fantastic movie. So,
but he's also
he did Star Trek Beyond. Did he do Space
is
Jam? Good.
Beyond is amazing. He did. Let's see. Went came back for Fast and Furious 6, and then F9. Oh no, he's F9. Just that. I don't know if he directed it. Maybe he did. Anyway, he's coming.
He back did the new Space Jam, right? Or am I crazy?
No, he. I don't think so. Let's see. Okay. F9, Magnum PI TV series. He did one episode. Let's not look at that.
I like that.
Let's see. Scorpion. No, that's not it. Where is it? Where's the one I'm thinking of? He's done other stuff. Anyway, the guy's really interesting. So I'm kind of in. I want to see how things go. Hmm. If he can do it, great. But I still think that One Punch Man should also be called One Note Concept. You know?
Yeah.
There's not a lot there.
And yeah, you know, and that's what's going to be interesting, tough. Right? I mean, I don't know, because I'm bored. I was bored of the first volume of One Punch Man. I can't read another volume. I cannot watch more than three episodes of the anime series before I'm like, so he just punches people. Yeah, but the bad guys get worse and do worse things. It's like,
right?
Yeah, but One Punch Man just punches anyway. Listeners,
the fun part of that is like seeing Moomin Rider, the kid who like rides around on a bicycle and punches you with it.
Yeah.
Anyway. You know, it's not about One Punch Man, which I think is going to be part of the problem if you're trying to do a, you know, thing about
a One Punch Man. Yes. So listeners, what do you think about all these stories? You can head over to our Discord server. Join the Major Spoilers Discord server. It's free. There is a link in the show notes, and we would love, I'm seriously, Scott Rodrigo, who's not here. He's not feeling well this week, and he's not feeling well because you are not over on the Major Spoilers Discord server. If you believe, clap your hands and join the Major Spoilers Discord server and Rodrigo will live. And then you can join a growing community of awesome spoilerites. Link in the show notes. Cat gifts await. And also Rodrigo will appear. Hurry, though. I'm not sure. He sounded pretty bad in his email that he sent me earlier.
Oh, man.
Steven. He was like, oh, man. He's like, Steven. I am not feeling well. Won't make it tonight. And I was like, oh, my gosh. Oh, dear spoilerites. Listeners, get out there. Save a Rodrigo. Only you can save a Rodrigo. Let's do some reviews. So
this podcast or we shoot this host.
I know, right? Patreon.com/Major Spoilers. I wonder if we could recreate the National Lampoon cover with Matthew and if we would get an uptake.
You can't do it with Matthew. No, because no.
So a couple of months ago, I read the Sumerian Hour of the Dragon number one. This is the Ablaze Publishing's adaptation of the Robert E. Howard story written by Julian Blondell with art by Valentin Schischer. This is the conclusion of that story. And I was okay. The thing that I like about the Sumerian series that Ablaze is doing is that they do it uncensored and they do a fairly faithful adaptation of the Howard original stories. So what do we mean by uncensored? Well, there are boobies. So if that's something that offends you, you should probably stay away from this. There is, I don't want to say excessive gore, but I mean, especially in this issue, there's a lot of bad guys getting their heads chopped off. There's a lot of people who are getting dismembered. There's a bunch of scary monsters that show up at the end to try to claim back the heart of Zaltatun, or however you say that guy's name. So that's all fascinating. I guess so. The story wise, love it. From the art wise, I really like it. The thing that I have a problem with, though, is that this issue is so dark. And I don't mean dark as in the blood and guts aspect of the story, but it's like everything is in dark shadows. And so at times it becomes hard to see, OK, now who is this guy versus who is this guy? Which bad guy is this supposed to be? And so that really brought down my enjoyment of the issue, because when you've got three bad guys who all kind of look alike, except for maybe one headdress, and then a woman who's topless, and then Conan, who you know as Conan, it becomes a little hard when a big battle is breaking out to determine who is who and who is winning and who is losing in this thing. I didn't read issues 2 and 3, so I was a little lost in the story, but you know, it's still enjoyable enough to do this. I would say that if you are a Conan fan, and you are looking for comics to read, adaptations to read, I know Marvel in the past has done fine adaptations of Conan stories. I don't like what Marvel is doing with Conan right now in the Savage Avengers. or that other thing that they're doing. I'm glad that they finally sent Conan and crew back to the past, back to Hyboria, so we can see what happens there. I'm kind of glad that the Marvel license is ending soon, at the end of this year, I believe. But I think the better version of the Conan stories is what Ablaze is doing. I think they're more faithful to the original. I think that they take a lot more care in some of the art that they're doing in it. I like that they actually put reprints of the original stories in the back of the comic book. Totally worth it for $3.99 if you're a Conan the Barbarian fan. I'm going to give this 3.5 slices of meatloaf. I was a little down just because of the dark art and sometimes just going, okay, now what's going on in this panel? So that's my biggest complaint from it. But otherwise, I thought it was another great adaptation. I think this is the third or fourth Conan story that Ablaze has adapted. So go and check that out. There's a link to our Amazon affiliate link if you want to buy that. Matthew, you've got some DC Pride going on this week.
Comics. Woo. Yes, because it is Pride Month. DC Pride 2022. You will be happy to know, Stephen. Officially, DC Pride one shot 2022.
No, I understand that it's a one shot. They say one shot. In fact, if you go and look at the official listing over on Amazon, it's DC Pride 2022 number one, parentheses, one shot. So that's a little bit of a problem. But anyway,
so you'll be happier. You'll be happy because
I would be happier if they just didn't have the number one on the cover.
It's one shot number one. There might be a second one shot that would be one shot.
I bet there's
number two. I bet there is. You could. But here's the thing. Despite the naming issues, and I have been complaining for about 3 years now about the Pride issues just being called DC Pride. This year, they have officially called it DC Pride 2022. This is a collection of stories. $9.99, but a lot of pages. I'm going to say like 45 or 60 or a bunch of pages, like nine individual stories. And as you go through this, you kind of get that big, here's some vignettes from across the DC universe thing that I love. They will do like occasionally the summer specials and the winter specials. The Pride special actually has the opening story is the old school Super Sons. So it's John Kent and Damian Wayne at Pride. And this is important, Stephen, and I want to point this out to you. Brainiac 5 and Dawnstar are in this issue, and they are specifically, Brainiac 5 is demisexual,
yeah,
and Dawnstar is bisexual, and these are the new
these Bendis are the Brian Michael Bendis versions, yeah.
Which means that we have now learned something about Legionnaires,
which never happened in the 20 issues
of Legion of Superheroes. Correct. So in the 3 years since Bendis started writing Legion, we've learned nothing. In the first four pages of Pride, we've learned a lot of things about Legionnaires. But there's a cute story featuring Superman, John Kent. And I've seen people calling it out because there's an argument between Damian Wayne and John Kent in this story where Damian is like, we need to be prepared just in case something bad happens. And John Kent is like, Pride isn't a riot anymore. It's just a big party. And I've seen people calling that out. I can definitely see the point, and I feel like it doesn't ruin the story, but it's definitely something that, tonally speaking, is a little weird. Nubia, the new queen of the Amazons and one of the several Wonder Women, has a really well-drawn story in this issue. We do get stories featuring the Ray, the new Ray, who is not the old Ray, but is also a revamp of the previous Ray, but not the previous Ray who was previous to that Ray. So this is like the Ray number six or seven. Interestingly, I know there's a lot of Rays. Yeah. You know, I would enjoy having a Ray. And we finally do get the payoff on something that Gail Simone put in an issue of Batgirl like 10 years ago, where Batgirl's friend and former roommate Alicia gets in a fight. Batgirl is wounded, and Alicia literally takes a baseball bat and a mask and beats the snot out of Killer Moth. And she's like, yeah, I'm Batgirl. This is the bat. I really love that moment where she's just taking a steel baseball bat and beating this idiot villain over the head. So that's kind of nice. Jackson Hyde, the new Aquaman, is in here. By the way, I don't know if you guys know this, but Superman and Wonder Woman and Aquaman and Batman, they're all dead.
Yeah, of course. The death of them has been widely reported. I think.
Yep. Dead as a Hammer, Hawk Girl, Martian Manhunter, all of the good Justice Leaguers are dead. Frickin' hell, Jordan's still alive, but yeah. All the good Justice Leaguers are dead.
Sure.
Because I'm not bitter.
There's John Stewart.
John Stewart died. He was the good Green Lantern.
Oh, man.
At least
the revival of the Daily Show. Just kidding.
Right. It would be nice. Yeah. I just want to see the old John Stewart show and maybe bring on Craig Kilborn to give us a flashback.
No, that'd be great.
There's a story featuring Sojourn Muller, the new Green Lantern, that's pretty good. The Ray story is actually my favorite piece in the issue because it actually deals with an existing relationship rather than just being a story. And weirdly, Batwoman is in this. And I'm like, I completely forgot that Batwoman existed because she disappeared from the comics right when the show replaced Kate Kane on TV. Yeah. And I feel like I haven't seen her. And Tim Drake is in this, and Tim Drake has a new boyfriend. So
yeah, that's I want to say the Tim Drake special, which is, I think, also out this week, DC mm-hmm. Pride, Tim Drake, is kind of their I want to say that they're kind of reprints of previous issues with Tim mm-hmm. and his new boyfriend. And so mm-hmm. the coming out there and Tim's bisexuality. Mm-hmm. So I want to say that that's some reprint stuff in there.
Could be.
Yeah.
The Tim story is beautiful. Travis Moore draws and writes it. And oh, my word, it is so good. I mean, literally, Tim Drake has not looked this good since. I'm going to go with the days of Tom Lyle, 1994. But when you get to the end of this issue and when you get to the story set on Earth 11, and you meet the fearsome five of Earth 11, I want you to understand something, that Earth 11 confuses and frightens me. But all in all, balancing out the stories that really worked for me, the stories that didn't work for me, the stories that were just kind of, I'm going to go with 3 slices of meatloaf for DC Pride 2022. It's a nice celebration book. And I feel like a book like this, an anthology of this nature, is kind of like really good yogurt with some chocolate bits in it. Occasionally you'll get more chocolate and that will make a bite good. Really good. Occasionally you'll get to the bottom and you'll have like, oh, that was a little sour. But all in all, it's yogurt with chocolate in it and you can't hate it. And that's how it gets. 3 slices of meatloaf.
All right. Scott, we are calling your segment now. Scott from the Long Box.
Yeah.
You're going into the back
Scott
issue
from
band.
The Long Box, two yep. bits.
And you're pulling up a classic treasured comic and you're taking a look at it and telling us all about it.
Yeah. So I decided we watched The Losers on FilmSac, the film mm-hmm, from mm-hmm. 2010, I guess it was 2010. Yeah.
Yep.
Peter Berg directed by Sylvian White, Idris Elba, Zoe Saldana, all those people, yeah. Jeffrey Dean Morgan. It was, you know,
Captain America, Negan, and Gamora.
But I remember at the time people were like, this movie sucks. Don't watch it. It's not good or whatever. And I went, well, I'm just not going to bother. And then we watched it for FilmSac and I went, all right, this isn't a good movie. It's not a great movie. It's passable, but there's nothing, but there was something in it where I was like, I know this comic's got to have more than this. This has to be, it's got to be better. And so I decided to read the comic. So I guess the movie succeeded in its whole goal of, well, it's usually the other way around though, right? They want you to see movies because they get a lot of money that way. But it drove me back to the comic, and I really like it.
Yay.
I was surprised how much I liked it. It's very, how do I put this?
Well, it's a Vertigo book, so it's a little bit more adult.
It's very 1999.
Except that it came out in 2010.
Right, correct. What I didn't know is that the Vertigo comic, who is it? Andy Diggle and Jock.
Uh-huh. I think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is a lot better than the movie, a lot better, and not just a lot better. That's obviously more story than just the film. Also, the film leaves out a bunch of stuff. Some of the characterizations in this thing, like some of the bad guys, are really stupidly portrayed in the film, even by actors I like. And that stuff was so much better, so much deeper, so much more fun to follow. And it's just a raucous good time, that comic. I really, really liked it. It's kind of A-team for a more mature, older mm-hmm. audience. And you know, seeing them get in and out of trouble. I have to admit, it was kind of fun to just contrast and compare and go, okay, well, this, you know, this character here, who is it? I'm thinking of Pooch, is a lot different than this guy, or Roke is completely different than he was in the film. But still, you know, betrays everybody. Spoiler. It's not much to betray or to say there, but anyway, I really liked it. I thought it was great. I'm a sort of on and off fan of Andy Diggle's writing anyway, and I like Jock's artwork wherever he's working.
Mm-hmm.
So it just did it for me. I think the Losers is great. And if you've seen the film and you think it would hold you back, don't let it. Read it if you want, because it's good. It's quite good. So I'm going to give that, what's the total amount you can
five,
give?
Five. No one can eat more than five slices of meatloaf. So on a scale of one to five slices of meatloaf.
Matthew prays to differ. I'm going to say, I'll give it four out of five.
Yeah. That's a solid number.
Big old plate of meatloaf. I liked it.
There you go. Cover it with mashed potatoes and gravy. There you go.
Yeah.
If you want to know what Matthew and I's thoughts are on The Losers, we reviewed The Losers way back in episode 186 from 2010. So you can go and check that out in the Major Spoilers archives. Wow. So
that's back when we still cursed.
No, yeah. We never cursed on this show.
You've cursed the show. It's not on it.
Right, exactly. Right. Yes.
I get that confused.
So, first of all, some good reviews. You can find more reviews over at majorspoilers.com. I will say that as I'm looking at our numbers and what we can afford to do and what we can't afford to do, we are down in our Patreon numbers this month. And really, because we're not owned by a corporation, because we're not controlled by some conglomerate that tells us what we should be doing, that pays our checks or anything like that, our principal source of funding comes from our patrons, listeners, just like you. And we have some fantastic people like Michael Lee this week, who moved from a monthly pledge to a yearly pledge. He actually saved some money in the process. You pay for 11 months and you get 1 month free when you sign up for the yearly pledge. So we have some great patrons like Michael Lee, but we would love for more of our listeners. And we know that there are several thousands of you listening right now that could head over to our Patreon page and join us for all the fun for as little as, you know, a couple of bucks a month, $2, $5 a month. Could really help us out and make sure that we can pay Scott Johnson at the end of the year when the bill for his massive talent comes due. You can find out more by visiting our Patreon page at patreon.com/majorspoilers. Certainly appreciate it. And when you sign up, we'll give you a shout out right here on the show. Thank you, Michael Lee, for your support. Okay, Scott, I think one of the previous times that we had you on the show. I thought we were going to have you at the beginning of the year. I thought we had you here for the Spider-Man and Superman one, but we didn't. But this year we're taking a look at Marvel and DC crossovers. But as I like to twist the knife and play monkey's paw on everyone, it's not the Marvel and DC crossovers you want. It could be Avengers versus JLA. But no, we're not going to do that. Instead, we're taking a look this month or this week at Spider-Man and Batman Disordered Minds from 1995.
Yeah. Boy, howdy. Well, whatever. How do you want to discuss this?
First of all, Scott, let's get your take on this story of what this issue is about.
Okay, so it seems to me that somebody thought it was a good idea to have a crossover of not just Spider-Man and Batman, but also let's take the two most insane villains of each universe, or at least some would argue they are, the Joker and Carnage, and let's have those two do crossover time. And they're kind of the thing that brings Batman and Spider-Man together to have to kind of fight this single foe. It also assumes that the universes are shared and that Gotham is just down the street from New
York. And that's what I was going to ask Matthew. Is this the second time that Marvel and DC have done a crossover like this?
This is the fourth or fifth time.
Oh, fourth or fifth time. Okay.
Yeah, because the first one, of course, was Superman and the Amazing Spider-Man back in 77. And then, of course, they followed that up with Batman versus the Incredible Hulk for their TV crossover.
Oh, right.
In 83, there was X-Men Teen Titans. And all of those books take place in a reality where it's just like, hey, these things coexist. Marvel has designated it Earth 7642. DC hasn't ever given it anything other than they just call it Crossover Earth. But yeah, Crossover Earth essentially has New Genesis, has the Phoenix Force. It basically has anything you need at a given point. So we saw a Green Lantern Silver Surfer crossover. and Spider-Man, there was a Batman Punisher crossover.
Yeah.
Right before this, that actually was referred to in continuity. If you remember during the Batman, the Bruce Wayne murderer arc, where Nightwing was like, yeah, this weirdo in black showed up. I think he called himself the Pulverizer or something. That was a line through that. So I think that this is just one of those things where, based on that first Superman Spider-Man crossover, with the exception of Marvel versus DC, that had like a 3-page setup of here's these universes and now they're kissing. That's actually not too far off. Yeah, it's just sort of, hey, we're in a world where this happens.
Yeah, I kind of like it that it's just, you know, we don't have to explain some weird portal opens up like in Spawn or something, the Spawn Batman crossover, where we have to explain that these are two universes colliding, which is what they did in Justice League and Avengers. And it's just that, like, you know, Spider-Man shows up in Gotham because this doctor has implanted a chip inside of Carnage and taken him to Arkham to show off how he can be controlled. And the Joker, and they want to do it onto the Joker. And Spider-Man shows up to monitor what's going on. And Batman's like, hey, this isn't New York City. Get out of my Gotham. And Spider-Man's like, I'm just here to be helpful. I didn't know you were the boss of everything. And Batman's like, I want my cucumber sandwich. Ah.
Here's man, that frame cracked me up. Here's my problem with the whole thing. I'll just get right to it. They took the five most common stereotypes of Batman and the five most common stereotypes of Peter Parker, and then they just mashed them in here and said,
"Yeah,
hey, what if we revisited all those? What if there's a ton in here about freaking Batman's parents again? What if we just kept blowing that horn as long as we can till the end of time?" And they do, boy, howdy, do they. It's just an excuse to make another one of those. It just kind of came off as a little bit lazy to me.
Well, it is 1995. That's the only thing that I'm going to give some credit on this is by 1995, we see Marvel emerging from their catastrophic, failures or starting to emerge from their catastrophic failures, from bankruptcy and all those kinds of things. And so Spider-Man is starting to come back on the rise. We're starting to see some fantastic artists over there, and they're obviously Image has broken off. So there's some competition that needs to go on. And so to throw in Marvel's biggest character, Spider-Man, and arguably DC's continued biggest character in the form of Batman, throwing those together in 1995 seems on target, right? It seems like the synergy thing to do. In that world
front against what change that is in the air.
And I'm trying to think in 95, what Batman movie was just out. It wasn't Batman and Robin, was it? That would come out in like 97, 98 or something.
This would have been the second. Well, you'd have been in the shadow of the second one.
It would have been the Val Kilmer one, wouldn't it?
No, Kilmer was like 98 or later.
Was it?
I thought it was.
Are you sure?
No, I'm not. I'm not sure of anything.
Because so the original was 89, and then that Burton had a second.
Now, Batman Forever was in 95,
right?
Okay,
so that would have been Kilmer.
Right. Yeah, that was Kilmer. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
So to kind of revisit some of those tropey things to show that Batman and Spider-Man are the same. They've both lost loved ones that shaped their future. Right? I think is okay to do in this sense because again. There may be in 1995, and certainly we see today, we certainly see some people who are very much, I'm only a Marvel or I'm only a DC, but I guess I'll read this Batman comic because it has Spider-Man in it, and Spider-Man is the awesomest. So I can see kind of maybe repeating some of that stuff.
I can too, because, when we talk about crossovers, especially now, you know, a lot of times you'll see crossovers that are just nuts, like Back to the Future Transformers, or, you know, the Star Trek cartoon and Transformers G1. And really, the hardest part of those is how do you make the story work? And at this point, especially, the Marvel and DC crossover was just apparently a huge minefield of editorial and writer concerns. And we get to a point where literally, the fans said Wolverine beat Lobo, who has physically overpowered Superman, and they had to make that work in story, but they had to balance it with another character losing. So remember when they talk about those fights that the fans got to vote, we didn't vote on all of the fights. So every time somebody won, there was a fight that the fans didn't get to vote on, which balanced the scales. And so I feel like having this be Spider-Man's greatest hits and Batman's greatest hits is really par for the course, because it's like we have to get each character has to be perfectly balanced
in their character.
Same size.
Yes.
Yeah.
They have to be their completely their character.
Exactly. The cover of Superman, Spider-Man went through dozens of revisions. And the reason why was they kept sending it back. And DC editorial Carmine Infantino was like, nope, Superman is smaller than Spider-Man. They have to be the same size. And the logos have to take up the same amount of space. Mm-hmm. And nobody's logo can be higher or lower.
So that's,
you know,
that's one of the things that I think comparing the Superman versus Spider-Man book with this one, the Spider-Man and Batman book, is that in Superman versus Spider-Man, they actually were fighting a little bit. They actually did the come to blows first meeting kind of thing. Right. Whereas this one, they kind of have moved past all of that and are just like, look, Spider-Man's in Batman's city. Batman needs some help. So Batman and Spider-Man team up to bring down Carnage and Joker. So I like the fact that there's not a lot of, you know, I'm going to punch you, Spider-Man. No, I'm going to punch you, Batman. It's a, oh my gosh, you're the Batman. I really respect you a lot, Batman. Oh, you're Spider-Man. I've heard of you, but yes, I agree. I'm also great. And so, yeah, I mean, Scott's complaint of
Batman sounds weirdly like Han Solo, by the way.
A little bit.
I shot first.
I've always admired you, Batman.
I know. So, you know, your complaint that Spider-Man is just too Spider-Man and Batman is too Spider-Man, too Batman for 1995.
Batman is too Spider-Man, yeah.
For 1995, I think that this is a perfect combo of each. And the fact that they don't come to blows from their very first meeting, I think is also something that feels like the two companies have matured a bit in their relationship with one another. Now, that being said, this story still blows chunks and is why you can't go and buy it.
Yes,
but
this is a terrible story matched with some gorgeous Mark Bagley art.
I do like Mark Bagley.
I like Bagley. It's a little Bagley's art's always been a little bit like, hey, that stoner kid next to me in detention really knows how to draw. Like,
yeah,
Yeah. But Bagley's Batman, there's a couple of panels in here of just a Mark Bagley's Batman where I'm like, man, if he'd have been drawing it, I would have read it in 1995. Holy crap.
On Scott Johnson's Twitter feeds at Scott Johnson, he shared the finger sandwiches panel. Alfred's in the Batman's in the cave and Alfred comes down and says, would you like some cucumber sandwiches? And he says, finger sandwiches. Let me get out of here. I got to go team up with Spider-Man because that's what happens when you eat sandwiches. You think of your best bud. Yeah.
Excelsior. That's the other thing they did is they were like, hey, remember Alfred? He's helpful and makes stuff. Mm-hmm. And then,
right,
as you leave, and like they just had everything from the playbook, and I get feeding the fans that stuff, but I just think it kept it too simple. It felt like somebody was standing over these guys as they made this comic, and that's what bugged me. I think
it's literally true. The editorial side always get involved in these things, and I'm going to make Steven mad because I'm going to reference Super Sentai for a moment. In the Super Sentai tradition,
doesn't make me mad.
After a season ends, they do what's called a versus movie. And the versus movies for years took place in this weird nebulous reality that couldn't exist. You'd see last year's team would just show up with no explanation and they'd fight and they'd do something. But there was always that thing of, we have to make sure that both sides look awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the territorial square footage, for lack of a better word, of the film was spent reminding you, here's the awesome thing about Dynaman, and now we fight.
Yeah.
And I feel like with this feels almost like, you ever buy like the kids books, a little golden book of comic book stuff, or
yeah,
like
back in 1972,
a coloring book where you get the coloring book and it's like Spider-Man fights Dr. Octopus. Yeah. Oh no, look how bad. In some ways, that's kind of what this is.
It's very safe. Yeah.
I think it's predicated on the expectation that 50,000 comic book fans are going to buy this, but also there's a possibility of another 50,000 non-comic book fans getting involved.
Well, and
people
and then
who don't pick up Spider-Man or Batman normally are going to look
well,
at
and
this.
And then the weird part about it, though, is, you know, it's like, and if this Spider-Man and Batman thing sells well enough, maybe we can get Spider-Man Batman 2, which I don't think we ever did. But we ended up with, what, two or three different Batman versus Spawn crossovers.
We do also have two volumes of Batman Daredevil.
Yeah, well, that's yeah.
I think there is a sequel to Spider-Man Batman, and I think it's called Batman Spider-Man.
I think you are right.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I think you're right because yeah. I think
because I remember the story with Ra's al Ghul and the King Pig butting heads. Ra's al Ghul was trying to buy out the Kingpin or something.
Didn't we just read that in Spider-Man and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? I mean, not Spider-Man, Batman and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I think that's what it was.
That was what it was. Yeah. And, you know, if you read Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Power Rangers, Rita Repulsa came to town to buy out the Shredder.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the thing you get because I swear to you when you said, we're going to read Spider-Man, Batman. I'm like, oh crap. I retro.
Yeah, there is. This year, there is a, yeah, I know which one you're talking about.
But I actually, we're not going to review that this year. Batman Daredevil.
Oh, okay.
And Batman Daredevil is very similar. It's
what year
like,
did that come out?
98, maybe 97.
Yeah. Cause I just remember that during this time in the 90s, when I was in Atlanta, it seemed like I could go to the shop multiple times in a year, like maybe quarterly or something. And there was a Batman meets somebody comic book, Spider-Man Spawn, Daredevil. There was wasn't there another Hulk one in the 90s where he,
there was Hulk. There was a Hulk Prime.
Or maybe it was Hulk. Maybe it was Hulk's Superman or something. I just remember that there were several
there
of those
was a
crossovers.
Superman Fantastic Four. And there was
Superman and Gen 13
Silver Surfer.
Gen 13 and Superman?
Yeah, Gen 13
Yeah, that
Superman
one was
crossover.
Actually kind of fun.
That one was pretty good. And we've reviewed that on the show before.
That at all. That's
so,
crazy.
So, yeah, as smart as it is to do these crossovers and do some company synergy, especially when you've got a company that, again, is still coming out of its Chapter 13 bankruptcy.
In 95, they were just going into it. They came
going into it.
Like 98, yeah.
So, I mean, this would have been a perfect time to do these kinds of things, to generate stuff.
They have nothing to lose at
the
this point.
The thing that is still the most confusing, I can understand the Joker in this.
Right.
But Carnage just, and I don't know, I honestly know almost nothing about Carnage, except that he's the third tier Venom. and so that's all I know about Carnage.
Carnage
I
disagree with that. I think Carnage is awesome. I love Carnage.
Well, that's my question. Why Carnage in this crossover? Is it just because of the mental issues?
Carnage was the new hotness in 1995.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah, Carnage was like the thing that they thought was going to, you know, save the industry and bring Spider-Man back to the front and uncurve our spines and give us peace with honor. I mean, they thought that Carnage was a big deal because he popped up in like 1992, I think. And at this time, you'll remember this is about the time that Venom had his own solo book.
Right.
And, you know, Carnage was like the eviler version of Venom. So Venom's now gone off to be a hero. Carnage is here doing the Venom thing. And Carnage was just absolutely amazing to the right people. I used to have a Venom and Carnage action figure. And the Venom action figure, if you pushed a button, would say, I will eat your brain. And the Carnage action figure just went, bleh. But yeah, Carnage was a huge deal.
Oh, in 92.
About the time... Yeah, but about the time that Ben Reilly, the Scarlet Spider, became Spider-Man again in 96 or so, Carnage was his big deal hero. Carnage was his Dr. Octopus, his Green Goblin, his Lex Luthor.
Yeah,
I was not reading really Marvel at this time, so...
But you were reading Batman, and it's interesting to note that this is no underwear Batman.
Yeah.
Where they took away his trunks in 1995.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
10 years before they did it for poor Superman. Superman had to run around in his underwear for another decade.
I remember that.
So I'm not really. So Mark there's if you are reading this comic in 2022, if you can get your hands on this comic in 2022, it is
you
super problematic.
Found it in a quarter bin.
If you did, good luck, because I think that thing goes for like 50, 60 bucks on the eBay.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, the eBay people like to rip you off.
So the thing is, if you read this today, it is super problematic. And I say super problematic because it's dealing with two people who have mental disorders. The whole the name of the series is Distorted Minds, or Disordered Minds. Sorry, not Distorted Minds. And the solution is, well, we can just implant a chip inside of Carnage and the Joker's brains and they'll be docile. And they do try to call it out in this that, oh, you're essentially giving them a lobotomy. You're doing the whole Doc Savage thing, sending them upstate to have a little procedure done. And I can, on the one hand, I can see that as a simple solution that backfires on them dramatically. But also the idea that someone who has a mental disorder can be fixed by an implant seems very basic.
It does.
The problem is everything's basic. There's no nuance to this thing. It's just
That is actually a legit point. And, you know, it from a 1994 perspective, I don't know how it felt, but in 2020, you know, ableism is just baked right into the crust of this book, because the whole premise of this is, why are Cletus Kasady and, you know, Jack Napier or whatever in God's name the Joker's real name is, why are they bad? Because they're insane. Why are they insane? Because they're bad. The badness makes them insane, which makes them bad, and we're going to fix it. And I'm not saying that man is not bothered by,
well, because these, he doesn't think about these things. He's too worried about finger sandwiches and his dead parents.
Yeah, and he's freaking cosplaying Michael Keaton. Like, it's just,
how are you?
Yeah,
Michael Keaton. I'm Mr. Bomb.
Dumb.
So I'm not trying to dismiss the good work that happens from people that are on their medications and that does help them. And yes, a pill may seem like a simple thing, but it goes a lot further than that. But I just think that to toss it off just to say, we're going to do a procedure on you against your will. That's the other thing that is in this, is that the procedure is being done against both the Joker and Cletus's will to have them quote unquote fixed.
And it's just like Cletus.
Is it like, just, that's the other thing that I'm just like, his name's Cletus. So yes, if you've got $100 plus $8 shipping, you can go and get a copy of this over on eBay. But I would say skip it. To me, this is just an issue that it doesn't hold up today. The Mark Bagley art is really good. And I think that this is a precursor to what we're going to see with him doing Ultimate Spider-Man with Brian Michael Bendis years later. I really, really dig that a lot. So that is cool. I do think that his Batman stuff is really good, too. I think all the art in this is good in the Mark Bagley way. So one thing to keep in mind about Mark Bagley is his characters are very fluid. So very oftentimes angular. They will bend in ways that don't seem right. But, you know,
Roberto Ramos.
No, I mean, you can definitely see some Roberto Ramos inspiration. Sorry, that Mark Bagley gets. I like Mark Bagley's way he does his characters. I like that springy stuff, but a lot of people don't.
I like it much better than Roberto Ramos.
Well, that's fine. That's your opinion.
And I will say that there is one flaw with this book that I feel is unforgivable.
Oh,
unforgivable. And the unforgivable flaw of this book is Carnage, le French, Carnage. Carnage is a symbiote.
Yeah.
Carnage can possess people. This story doesn't ever give us a carnageized Joker. That is unforgivable. When you do a crossover like this, and I mean, it's okay. Let's say you're doing Superman Venom and you don't slap a Venom on Superman. I mean,
a lost opportunity, but this, again, it feels like they were being controlled and they couldn't do that stuff.
That may be true, but,
and I also, know. There's that discussion between Joker and Carnage where Joker is like, oh no, I'm much more insane than you are. And I will always get you in the end, which kind of plays out to an extent, in that story, that the Joker may be the better villain of, in this story, which may be the one conceit that Marvel editorial had to give into, but you know, they all get put back in the box at the end.
Yeah, and that, I think that's the thing. But yeah, I'm sorry. If you don't carnageize the Joker, I mean, why am I even here?
Yeah. What are we doing? What's bottom line for you, Matthew?
bottom line for me is if you pay more than $12 and this comic is not gem mint or sealed in a CGC graded bag, you're insane.
Yeah, this
do
one
not
just
trust
says
people.
This one
on
says
Facebook.
Near mint, and it looks like it's just in a aging Mylar bag.
Okay, if it's in an aging, if you can visibly see the aging in the Mylar bag, that is not a near mint comic.
No, that's what I was going to say. You can see that there's some yellowing going on that Mylar.
This book is extremely hard to keep too because it has a puffy cover.
Yeah,
the cover is actually
I've got this issue in my
yeah. What is it? It's not like vacuum sealed, but it's actually like you can
no, it's embossed.
It.
Yeah.
You can, yeah, thank you. That's the word. You can caress Spider-Man and Batman, and you could be like, ooh, Spider-Man. But
that's
if
my,
you pay
my
more
copy
than $12
no
for
mint.
This, yeah. Water damage is your own problem.
No, I'm saying I caressed it too much.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying, too. That's where the water damage came from. But no, it's not a great comic. It's not a super rare comic. It's not a comic that you need to go out of your way
I really,
to find.
Yeah, you don't need.
But it's an oak. It's a fun. I bought this stupid comic and I read it, and it's part of my collection. I mean, I own Fruit Man number one, and it's a you know a pride of my life. So if you feel like you need this, go track it down, find it, pay an appropriate amount of money for it, and understand that you just bought yourself a nice little turd to put in a plastic bag.
It's a piece of history. That's the one thing to say it. Scott, what's your final thought on this?
About the same. I love both these characters. I love all their ancillary characters. I love the concept of bringing these two villains together.
Yeah,
just it all felt too careful. I don't know. It
feels, Nightwing, Scarlet Spider.
To me, this is the recent Star Wars trilogy. Everyone's afraid to make any real, you know, moves. Mm-hmm. It just is too safe. And what I wanted was Rogue One. What I got was, you know, Jedi, whatever. And I didn't like it.
Jedi, what you want is got Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah, which is pretty good. I like Obi-Wan. Yeah.
Did you just mock Obi-Wan Kenobi?
I didn't mock it. I just said that it's very safe. Anyway, safe, Scott Johnson, thank you so much for checking us out, revisiting us again this week. The next time that I have Scott coming on the show, it's a general chat. So anything could happen Johnson happens.
You never
hears on the show, but until then, Scott, where can people find all of your wonderful stuff?
Everything is at frogpants.com. That includes all these podcasts we mentioned earlier. So if you want to get into some of that gaming content, daily talk show, you want, there's such a range of things. I do a couples cast with my wife. There's so much stuff. If you want to check that all out, frogpants.com/podcast or just frogpants.com. We'll get you there. Find all my artwork and stuff as well. And I'd love to hear your feedback. So let me know what you think of all that stuff. You can also poke me directly on Twitter.
Oh, with poke Scott's embossed cover there.
Yeah, Scott is also embossed, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. You can follow Matthew at Mighty King Cobra. And of course, you can follow me at Major Spoilers on the Twitter. And that is where we are going to wrap it up this week. Thank you so much for listening. If you found value in the show, we would love for you to join us on our Patreon page, where you can find even more fun, including the Major Spoilers podcast pre-show, where, like I mentioned earlier, we talk E3, Diablo, and a whole lot more. You can find out more at patreon.com. /Major Spoilers. So until next time, we know that you love comics and we do too.
Fat the X-ray vision of a Superman. I could save a few bucks and stand around and read through the covers of the comics on the stand. But although every other page would be backwards, I suppose I could still read the evens and the odds. Well, I don't know. Guess I haven't thought this all the way through. Plus, as soon as the comic book store guy knew, they kicked my butt out on the corner. What a major spoiler. What a major spoiler. When I think about a way, if I was hulking green or gray, I could just bust through that brick wall, take their comic books away. But then the little meat would deal with all the tanks and bombs and guns. Have you ever tried to read a series with all that going on? Guess I need to rethink this plan. How would I back and board my comics with such huge hands? Guess I already told ya. What a major spoiler. What a major spoiler. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What a major spoiler. What a major spoiler. If I'm Star Raven. rich like a man of iron. Might not be surprised if I'm that I might actually have the heart cold to follow an entire storyline. Would I really even need to read up on all those escapades? I mean, who needs such distractions when your sister's such a babe? But the downside is such a beast. Being shot up in a fun, being the middle east with a king, son, throwing soldier. What a major spoiler. What a major spoiler. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What a major spoiler. Whoa, 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 whoa. What a major spoiler.
This podcast is copyright 2022 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.